like this, attempt to ponder on God's words, wonder in awe, and indeed learn of Him. Join me as I welcome God's very own servant, Pastor Tayo Ladejola, whom He has called to equip and build the saints, not with excellence of speech, but of simplicity, by power, and demonstration of the Holy Spirit.
Please can rise on our feet as we receive the ministry of Pastor Tayo Ladejo of the Governing Church, Lagos.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless and honor you in Jesus' name. Please, you may have your seat. Amen. Since I came in here yesterday, it's been a wonderful time. I was thoroughly blessed by through the ministry of Christ through Pastor Bello. I thought that was very profound. How many of us were around? Amen. And Pastor Ernest Paul, you know, took it to another dimension, and we were all thoroughly blessed. Amen. Thank God for His presence in here and the glory of God that's made manifest. Praise God. I do bring greetings from the community of God's people in Lagos, the Governing Church, from my wife, Monica, and the folks over there. Praise God. I was supposed to be here with one of our pastors, Sheyi Adefemi, but there was a development at the dying minute, so that was very crucial that he attend to. So that was why I couldn't make it. And it was too late to start engaging some other people. So I just felt, okay, I'm coming with the host of heaven. Praise God. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So it's been a wonderful blessing. I want to appreciate the father and the mother of the house. You know, Pastor Sheyi Osonibi and Pastor Bola Osonibi, thank you so much. Thank you for your love, your heart for the truth. Amen. Pastor Sheyi's ministry challenges me. His life also challenges me. And, you know, I appreciate the depth of wisdom that he exudes. And not only that, the radical spirit. Praise God. Amen. You need to be with people who set you on fire, who stir you up, you know, something, the passion of the Lord, the sense of urgency in you. Amen. Set you on fire. And also a lot of time bring correction and bring wisdom, alignment, you know, and all that. So we are blessed and we're privileged. I'm talking about the body of Christ to have His ministry in our generation. Amen. You know, when Pastor Bola was speaking this morning, you can see a mother, the ministry of the church is used to the ministry of the father. We need the ministry of the mother that draws attention to details and bring application of kingdom to domestic matters. Praise God. You know, not sitting to nitty-gritty and of fatherhood. Praise God. Of ensuring balance. We need that. Praise the Lord. And the kingdom of God is vast. And thank God. Thank God for your life, Mark. You know, one of the testimonies of their life, the testimony of Christ in them, is you see, there are men of God who do great exploits out there. They slay giants. But the only thing is that Satan owns their own home. There are many pastors, their wives are miserable because the man is never around. The woman carries the burden alone. There's so much bitterness. And you see, many children of men of God are completely ravaged with. And it all begins with a vacuum. Praise God. You know, Pastor Sheyi and Pastor Bola, one significant testimony is their children. You know, the twins. The twins are, I'm talking about Sheson and Lori. They are light bearers. Praise. And I appreciate God for the foundation they have from the home. Praise the Lord. So it's easy to, you know, enter the kingdom and stand for God. They truly represent Christ wherever God sends them. Praise God. And of course, our Pastor Bello, God bless you, sir. Thank God for your life, your commitment, your faithfulness, and your consistency. Amen. Reverend Ken Watson, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Amen. Reverend Ken Watson, amen. If there's any ministration I love to be under, is Reverend Ken. Pastor Ken, he's a son of thunder. He thunders every time he ministers. I don't think Reverend Ken ever has low point, low moment, never. The spirit is always moving, and the fire is always burning. Praise God. You know, and I love an aspect of Christ that is rare today in the church, which is that evangelistic, you know, intensity. You know, and not only that, is a spirit of a revivalist that just ignites the fire. And especially when you have someone with a prophetic and apostolic edge. We have people who do have that we used to, and I believe God will restore them back in the church. We used to have a lot of people with that evangelistic trust. But somehow, you know, everybody is about building empire now. Praise God. Amen. So, but what is real? It's people who will channel that trust towards advancing the kingdom in our heart. And that's the grace and the ministry God has gifted Reverend Ken with. Of course, in addition to that, he's actually a builder. He builds with truth and with understanding of the kingdom. Praise God. And I personally cherish is the ministry of Christ in him. Praise God. And you know, Pastor Shafet, good to have you. Praise God. I'm meeting Pastor Shafet properly in the course of this conference for the first time. Praise the Lord. And I've heard so much about him. God bless you. Thank God for your life. And of course, our Pastor, you know, David Adekunle. God bless you, sir. Pastor Majason, thank you so much. Amen. We have connected so much for many years, but we have never seen. It's very interesting. It's a small world. Thank God for your life, sir. Amen. Praise God. So much has been said yesterday. So much has been said this morning. I'm just going to ride on that. Praise God. And bring us the word of the Lord. I believe this, first of all, I'm going to be talking about the issue of the warfare of the kingdom. Maybe I'm going to focus first on the foundation. Praise God. You know, and try to bring more. We've heard so much of that. But more of it. Pastor Jay just told me that he talked about the kingdom for 1 year and he did not finish the message. Praise God. So we can't exhaust the kingdom. In fact, my belief is that the kingdom ought to be the theme of every message, preaching and teaching we bring forth. The kingdom ought to be the theme. You know, I preach prosperity. I preach everything the scripture talks about. But I believe if you preach prosperity and it is greed that triggers in the heart of people, something is wrong about the message. So when we preach prosperity, the content should still be the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Because true prosperity has got nothing to do with acquisition. It's got nothing to do with acquisition of material wealth. True prosperity has got everything to do with obeying the will of God. True prosperity has got everything to do with being motivated with exactly what drives God's heart. True prosperity has got everything to do with developing a sharing spirit. Amen. Amen. God is the ultimate giver. And we cannot outgive God. So prosperity is a kingdom matter. So we can't exhaust what the kingdom of God is about. And when Jesus in his earthly days, you know, the kingdom was all that Jesus preached about. All. That's why he told us that until the church comes back to this sphere, that this gospel of the kingdom is being preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, the end will not come until, praise the Lord. So I'm going to spend more time this morning to talk about defining and understanding the kingdom, entering the kingdom, how the kingdom operates, how, what is the initiative of God with regards to the kingdom, praise God. I believe the next time I'll focus more on the contention that is the confrontation and the conflict we face, you know, as a result of advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, God is the God of all the earth. God is absolutely sovereign. But you know, the prerogative of wisdom to determine what aspect of God the intervention of the kingdom in the face of every challenge is left to God. You know, there are times where man is so in a hurry and anxious to see the power of God demonstrated and the judgment of God enacted in the earth. And you know, the justice of heaven at that point in time has just been silent. I don't get what I'm saying. And you just feel that, the evil is triumphing. No. God is always in control. No matter what the situation may appear. So that's why when we talk about kingdom, people who are, you know, in the days of kingdom, the laws of wickedness, barbaric acts were being perpetrated in the earth. But yet the kingdom of God was advancing. Just like Pastor Ernest was telling us yesterday. Praise the Lord. You know, what came to mind? Talking about the sovereignty of God, which is an expression of the kingdom. I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, reading about the one time elected president of Brazil. That was in 1985, by the name Tancredo Neves. This guy was an extremely famous and likable character, you know, as a political figure. And he had occupied, he had vast knowledge and experience in politics. He had been the minister for, okay, please, could you please put your phones on flight mode, or you just turn it off? God bless you. You know, there seems to be some interference, you know, signal frequency. So, God bless you. Please do put your phone on flight mode, you know, or just turn it off. Thank you very much. I don't know whether the announcement is already getting the job done. Maybe the phone signals they can hear. Praise God. Before we start turning them off and putting them on flight, praise the Lord. In everything has voice. Amen. So, you know, this man, well, he was once Tancredo Neves, was once the Minister for Interior. Another time, that was between 1953 and 62. Another time was the Minister for Justice. At some point was the Minister for Finance. Then at some point was the Prime Minister. So in 1985, when he was running, he was extremely famous, popular, likable. And he was being interviewed that, if by any nick of chance you lose this election, and he's like, what? He told the journalist, what are you saying? What did you just say? I lose this election. It is absolutely impossible. There's nothing that could ever make that happen. Not in the world of existence. As a matter of fact, the urge to put it in a convincing manner, then something went wrong. Which it must have been out of his attitude. That's the attitude. Pride must have fed it. That he thought he was larger than life. You know, it's like Titanic. When the captain was asked, you mean this is the ultimate and the foremost technology? Yes. Are you telling me that there could never, for any reason, be a shipwreck? Ship what? He said, even God cannot sink this. That was the and God heard it. You know, funny things is always being spoken by man. So every now and then, people say things, people insult God. Praise God. That was the night that Titanic sank. It was a very little iceberg. Then the same thing with this Brazilian, presidential candidate. He said, even God cannot stop my electoral victory. And the election was held. He actually won landslide. And there was so much hope that he will bring freedom. His negotiative skill, his this and that. And there was fantastic preparation towards the swearing in. And then he slept just to wake up on the day of swearing in. He did not wake up. God took his breath away. Sometimes I love to read some of these stories because it instills in me the consciousness of the fact that God is worthy to be feared. Praise God. Our God is fierce. Our God is dangerous. We need to understand not only his mercy and his goodness, we need to understand his severity. Praise God. We need to understand God. So but as intense and as terrible in righteousness God is, he's such a loving Father. Praise God. And that's why he deserves our worship. So when we talk about contention, God is supreme. Praise the Lord. The contention is not based on superiority. No, that is not in question. Praise the Lord. That is not the basis for the contention. The contention is over the soul of man. Praise God. The contention is what? Over the soul of man. The kingdom wants to penetrate and ask the soul of man as the basis for operation. The kingdom wants to hold our soul so that we can be agencies by which the kingdom could find expressions in the earth. Praise God. So when we talk about contention and the battle of the kingdom, is primarily what is at stake is the soul of man. And you know, God is a God of justice. According to the divine design, God will not overrule when the soul of man is at stake. Praise God. God will not superimpose his will over humanity. We have to choose. We have to voluntarily align with his will. Praise God. So when we talk about the battle of the kingdom, the warfare of the kingdom, what is at stake is not superiority. What is at stake? No. What is at stake instead is the soul of man. If heaven would take control and govern over the soul of man, there would be breakthrough in the earth. there will be victory. Iniquity will receive. Praise God. And that is what is at stake when we talk about the warfare of the kingdom. Another thing that comes to mind, you know, especially when Pastor Bola was speaking, is that, you know, often things, God's things don't, when we talk about the outworking of the things of God, they start small. Often the family is very strategic. I remember a couple of years ago, my marriage to my wife was still quite at the early stage. We probably were 2 years in marriage, that's maybe like some 16 years ago. And one of our relatives, you know, a nephew who had gone away with politicians, the dad was into politics and the dad died and he was born out of wedlock, was staying with the dad and the stepmom. And he mingled. The dad was the PDP leader of the state, the chairman of PDP. And the PDP was the ruling power in the South. So he's gone so far into politics and occultism and all that. So the dad died, and all the friends turned their back against them. No, not the friends. The stepmom turned her back against him. He was left alone. And we were praying for him. And my wife and I discussed about bringing him to the house. Let him live with us for a while. It was a very serious decision. Because my marriage was still at the early stage. You are quite sensitive about who comes in. But the desire to see life change prompted us. So we invited him. Stay with us for a while. You know what? Go back and do your school cert. I'm going to support you. I shared with him. After I got married, I went to do school cert. Yes. I went to do school cert. You know, that's a different story. You know, what led to what else. And I did school cert, and I sat and prepared for 2 months. And I thought, hey, praise God. I've never done literature in my life. I had 8 asterisks in literature. So I told him that you can sit down and make something with your life. So I sat him down and encouraged him, and you know, I laid hands on him. We worshiped together. So we woke up the following morning, we're worshiping in the house. By the second morning, the guy disappeared. And he put in writing, because when he came in, I already paid for extra morals. I've given him money we use for transportation, pocket money throughout for the month, attending extramural, and bought him a new set of clothes, and did a whole lot, and he wrote that I've never been loved like this in my life. And I will never forget that. But Pastor and Auntie, I can't live with you. Your house is too hot. Those were his words. When he put it in the room and he ran away, he left, he took, you know, the vehicle back to its base. You know, I said, I cannot survive here. It is too hot. He said, but I will never forget. And truly, you know, years after, God betrayed me because a seed was sown. Just the 2 days of coming to our own space, God started something. You know, he's talking about the twins. You know, Shesha and Nuri, you just see light in them. Praise God. There are a lot of areas you need to, you know, it's easy when you just need to polish. When you need to polish rough edges. Praise God. That when you need to uproot foundation, when it is fundamental, when it is foundational, it's a lot of, you know, and like when I wasn't around recently, some 3 weeks ago or thereabout, I was to minister to a group of, you know, people in the corporate world on the island, and I wasn't going to be around, and I sent some of them. Lori was on the team, and they ministered the word and prophetically activated them. The pastor who was is you know, he works for one of the foreign oil companies at the senior level and wrote me, in fact, "As Pastor Tayo, I think you are the most successful man of God I've ever met because of the quality of men that have come out of your loins." You know, you're not everywhere. Every time you feel successful, you know, you feel like you feel fulfilled. I really felt, wow, praise God. So when we talk about home, that the home front, that's actually where the battle begins, and we must take charge at that frame. Amen. Let's go to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. The Bible says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Praise God. The kingdoms of this world. This is like the ultimate verdict of heaven. This is where the whole thing is gravitating towards. You know, each time, each one of those seven angels, each time they blew the trumpet, certain signs would break out in the earth. There was some that, a certain one that would blow the trumpet and there will be famine and there will be scarcity. A certain one will blow the trumpet and there will be turmoil. There will be war and conflict. But this final angel, when he blew the trumpet, it was all about kingdom takeover. It was all about the dominion mandate implemented. Praise God. That the kingdoms of this world will all culminate into the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is to say that time is going to be terminated, praise God, and the world to come is going to be birth and midwife, and it is the kingdom of God. As the kingdom is advanced, then there will be a point when this passing age will give way. And eternity is going to come forth. And that's the reason why we're so privileged by God. Because our calling and our mandate is to make this happen. We are blessed. We are fortunate. We are God called out ones. We are the ones he's working with, and he has entrusted someone. That's the reason when you have the understanding and revelation of this, you will never wake up and go through depression. You will never wake up and be downcast because of things that appear not to be working around you. This is the high calling. This is the purpose for which we are living. Praise the Lord. And we're privileged, we're blessed. And God has been so gracious to us. Amen. One of the things we need to first, you know, see or consider is that first, the proclamation concerning the finality of all things. What the scripture calls consummation of all things, captured in him, was triggered through the trumpeting of the seventh angel. Isn't that so?
Yes.
And I'm sure we are all familiar with the fact that seven is synonymous of rest.
Yes.
Praise God. God is bringing us into his rest. 6 days, he says, we'll labor. And on the seventh day, we will come into rest, Sabbath. Seven is synonymous of perfection, isn't that? So when we talk about what is the emphasis of the kingdom, the emphasis of the kingdom is the perfection of the saints. Whenever the saints are being perfected, the kingdom of God is being advanced in the earth. Praise God. You know, the way God judges is not the way man judges. It really doesn't matter what your church is going. Your church may be having building the, you know, massive mega centers of a modern structure. And there's so much money, you people are buying all the cars in the world and flying jets. But the things are not being perfected. There's stagnation in the spirit. There's setback to the kingdom. It's only when the saints are being perfected that kingdom is advancing. Praise God. So when we talk about kingdom with regards to the church coming into the totality of God's counsel and God's agenda, the church must, the saints must be perfected. The saints must be built. Now the first question is that what perfection is not? Amen. Because we could make this mistake. We can't give literal definition to biblical perfection. Perfection, biblical perfection has got nothing to do with sinlessness. Praise God. Literally speaking, it's not sinlessness. Perfection, when we talk about biblical perfection, is not measured by moral uprightness. What did I say? Biblical perfection is not measured by our moral uprightness. Praise God. Otherwise, it will all be reduced to works. It will all be reduced to works. Otherwise, it will be motivated by egocentric self-righteousness. That's not biblical perfection. Praise God. No doubt about the fact that when we are committed to the outworking of God, to the dealing of God, we're committed to the process of God, uprightness, moral uprightness blossoms in us. Praise God. When we're committed to the divine process, when we're committed to understanding the ways of God, when we're committed to developing the fear of the Lord, when we're committed to fostering intimacy with God, praise God, moral uprightness is the natural consequence. But we're saying that biblical perfection is not equivalent to moral uprightness, praise the Lord. It's very clear from God's word. So the question is, what is biblical perfection in the you know, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Matthew 5, 48, the Lord Jesus speaking, he said, and ye shall be perfect. Why? Therefore, ye shall be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And the word perfect here is what tells you. Praise God. The first thing about this perfection is that this perfection, you could see, biblical perfection is always relating, is always setting the Father as a standard. Not man. Not wanting to live right. Praise God. The fear of God will bring forth moral uprightness in us. We will live right. We will deal with sin. We will overcome sin. But we're not talking about overcoming sin through the effort of man. Praise God. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Not overcoming, not attempt to deal with sin through the effort of man. Which is different from the righteousness that springs forth through the crucifixion of the flesh. Praise God. There's a righteousness that springs forth through the crucifixion of the flesh. Because when I come face to face with Christ, the more Christ is revealed in me, the more self is crushed. Praise God. Then the life of the kingdom springs forth. So, when the scripture talks about perfection, God always said the Father, our Heavenly Father, as a standard. It's about our conformity to the ultimate standard. And we know that can be achieved by the strength of man. Praise God. So the word perfection in here, and mostly in the New Testament, is the word telios. The word telios means to come of age. To come of full age. So it's talking about maturity, spiritual maturity. So when we talk about perfection in the Word of God, the perfection God has set before us as our standard, the perfection that God has brought upon us as our mandate, has got to do with our attainment of spiritual maturity, our conformity to the image of Christ. Praise God. That is the perfection in the Word of God. And we must understand that the hallmark of spiritual maturity is character formation. What did I say? The hallmark of spiritual maturity is character formation. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. The hallmark of spiritual maturity is character formation. Spiritual maturity has got nothing to do with acquisition of knowledge. I mean, spiritual maturity has got nothing to do with our acquisition of revelation knowledge. Just for the mere of having information. Praise God. You know, we're living in a time where, and that's the man in us. People showcase revelation knowledge as a sign and evidence of superiority in the spirit. Praise God. That does not in any way shows we're spiritual. Spirituality is evident by the quality of our lifestyle. Praise God. It's not so much knowledge we have. As a matter of fact, we always confuse high-sounding knowledge for spirituality. Praise God. No, not at all. Spiritual maturity and true spirituality is not evident by our high-sounding knowledge. No. Instead, the hallmark of spiritual maturity is character formation. It's the level of our character depth. Praise God. It is how much Christ is seen in us. It's the standard of our lifestyle, the quality of our lifestyle. So it is not based, it's not our maturity in the spirit, it's not measured by the acquisition of revelation knowledge. Praise God. Instead, our maturity in the spirit is determined by how much revelation knowledge is at work in us. How much revelation knowledge is changing us. Praise God. That's why the Lord Jesus said clearly, give us Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. The scripture says, 20 from 20. It is by their revelation knowledge ye shall know them. Is that what the Bible says? It is by their giftedness that ye shall know them. When they begin to spill fire out of their mouth. No. The litmus test for accuracy in the spirit is based on our spiritual fruitfulness. How much of Christ is replicated by us? How much of his life can be seen? Oftentimes there's such paradox, there's such dichotomy between the message of the man and the life of the man. It ought not to be. That's not the kingdom. Praise God. The kingdom is not display of charisma. Praise God. So that's what, wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. It is Jesus here setting the standard for the kingdom. So when we talk about what basis do we judge the accuracy of a message or a gift, it is the fruit. It is by their fruit ye shall know them. Let's read them. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when we talk about kingdom, praise God. You know, God is not looking for solidarity. Praise God. No, it's not everyone who claims Lord, Lord. And that's scary. Because it's Christians who call him Lord. Praise God. But it's those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. It is those who are committed and devoted to knowing him and therefore learning how to please him. They prioritize pleasing God, doing the will of God. That is what gives us access into the kingdom. Because many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Listen to the casting out of devils is very authentic. What did I say? Casting out of devils is very authentic. We will keep casting them out as long as we come across them in this way. Praise God. We will continue to heal the sick. And you have to go out there and do exploits and bring forth miracles. You know, when I came in from Delhi recently, India, and I enjoyed, at some point, you know, it's God calling me into this, because we spent about 4 months. And you know, it's like, one of the things I enjoyed about the place is what many Christians complain about the place. When you're in such an environment, and all you know or have is spiritual preaching, you will be stalked. Because when you tune in the radio and TV, you will hear a lot of spiritual cliché, and it's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In fact, if you're not careful, you'll think, let me furnish the language. You will hear a lot. And when you meet people, if you're not careful, you're talking to them about Jesus. By the time they are done, they will tell you that they're so fascinated about this. They're beginning to consider adding it to their gods. So you know, he's like, oh God. So if you want to, you want to have, because the guy has gone 49. He's just like, this is fascinating. He's already got 49 gods. So this is not a bad idea. This sounds interesting. In such a place, it's not soothsaying. Then you appreciate Paul's words, that our gospel did not come through enticing words of man wisdom. So if all we have are words, there are certain territory we can't penetrate. We need spirit. We need power. And you know, and it's not just signs and wonders we're talking about. You must become an entity of power. You know what I mean by that? Benin was talking about the fact that there was someday, he wasn't talking about, I used to receive a lot of Benin's videos, crusades. And Benin had some crazy crusades. You know, he was ministering somewhere in Europe. And some man had about 25 chronic diseases. His friend only called heart, you know, lungs. So he got dead. He was heavily, you know, on his wheelchair. So he couldn't stand. He was incapacitated and got dead all over that he was, living on. And as worship was going on, Benin just came up without preaching the word. He sent a strong atmosphere and was praying and speaking the word. And this man stood up.
and was breathing without the machine. And everything worked. So the person was just like, wow, what an incredible thing. Wow, glory be to God. God has done great things today. So, and he was sharing the testimony. He said it was his professor friend that invited him, and he came over here. And this, they even brought his medical reports. It was just like, they spent 10 things. He just had a few more weeks to leave. And that few more weeks, it cost a lot of money. Praise God, he's been living on death. And so there was so much excitement. So the finance in Benin asked for that. Now, are you ready to give your life to Christ? The guy said, no. So he's like, why not? That was Benin himself. Benin said his theology was messed up that day. He said that the friend that asked him to come, said giving your life to Christ was not part of the Bible. So that signs and wonders that you thought should... God will save many people through signs and wonders, but the challenges ahead, the devil is hardening the soul of man. When you look at that man, he will have a lot of knowledge. He must have lots of knowledge. And the way the enemy has distorted his thoughts, his paradigm is that he's not part of the bargain. And it's not just knowledge. I've met an illiterate like that. In Ibadan. It happened to me. It was a fellowship where I grew up in the fellowship. And our pastor said, you know, a brother, we call with another brother. He said we should go out and bring sick. God was speaking to us about the miraculous, and we should go out, go and invite them to the program. Bring them, that God will do great things. I missed the program because the first day I missed it. I was trying to convince. I went to Iworo. They had these people, lepers and all that. They were all over the place, and I was trying to convince them. None of them followed me. And I missed the first day. And it was a two-day program. I myself was looking. We had prayed and fasted many days. So the second day, I just felt, if these people will not follow me, I will pray for all of them until one of them gets here. You get it. By the time you pray for 14 or 24, at least one to three will get here. And then all of them will then follow me. That was the taxi that came. Are you who make me miss? What's the move of the spirit over there? And I talked to the first person and I prayed for him. And he couldn't stand and he stood up. And I thought, wow, the first one, Peter, you are in trouble. All these 24, we're not going three again. We are going to dismiss them. So I told him, he will follow me to the program. The guy said that, you don't know what I'm saying. You're in trouble today. He said I was in trouble. For what? I said, you're following me to share testimony with the brethren. You know, I'm going to pray for once I finish praying. He said, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. He said, now you provide me where I'll be living. And then you provide me and my family. He mentioned the number of children. The guy has about six children and his wife. He said, breakfast. Lord, I was confused. I was harassed, physically assaulted. I left the place messed up, confused, broken, only with the consolation I suffered for Christ. All the testimony I've had in my life, I thought they were following me. And they would say, Jesus is Lord. And they won't give their lives to Christ automatically. I didn't know you could get into trouble. For ministry, I didn't know the guy was a businessman. He was dead. That was his business territory. That was his. The guy was very. He was probably was just looking at his back over my back. So I need something for the back here. I know that. And we pray. If there was no there was no faith, God just move on his own. God raise him up. And the guy that said, you are going nowhere. Praise God. But you know, I love it with those folks in India. Even though it takes a lot of headache to communicate the message. Because eloquence is not enough. It must be backed up with power. So what I've been, what I was doing for them, especially when my wife was going through, you know, a medical procedure, and there was a period she was in the ICU about for a couple of days, so I was able to mix with a whole lot of them, you know, at the waiting lodge, and, you know, interact with them, ask about their family, when you show them concern about it. I will, oh God, the Holy Spirit will tell me, open the door for you, the woman coming. I'm talking about Edith, and I will open the door, and she will be fine. India, a man, a decent man opening the door, as in like, hey, it's like the culture, and I saw what love could do. You see, love is what breaks the barrier. And one thing about love is that every culture responds to love. Praise God. No matter your prejudice, people will receive love. And we will penetrate difficult terrains through love. So that's why the church that is a loving church is a powerful church. So I will just be talking to them about their business. I'll be talking to them. And you know what? As I was talking to them, I was operating a higher level of wisdom. I was bringing insight and direction to different issues of their life. And that's how they were ready to receive the gospel. Where is this wisdom coming from? How can I become like this? How can I wasn't saying, you know, Jesus died on the cross on the third day. They're not prepared for that. You know, all that will come later. But somehow, God, through the wisdom of God, I was able to learn through conversation and communication how to penetrate their heart with the gospel. That's what I was saying. I don't know where that God was. Praise the Lord. At some point. And that is it. The kingdom of God is not a function of acquisition of knowledge. So the Bible tells us in here that many will come to me. We cast out devils in your name. We do miracles and signs and wonders. And Jesus didn't say that, come on, you guys are liars. You never did that. No. I believe he recognized that they did miracles. They did healing. But unfortunately, this is kingdom matter. So in verse 23, it says, and then, in other words, if I'm going to paraphrase it, in spite, Jesus said, in spite of that, notwithstanding, I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. That is scary. The word iniquity is the word anomia, which means lawlessness. Lawlessness, illegality. Praise God. Illegality. Behavior. It's not necessarily, you know, sin, iniquity, wrong, you know, anything negative. It might not even be negative. It might be something, an attitude, a way of life has, that the society has embraced. But yet it's lawlessness. It contradicts the will of God. Praise God. So, it says, you indulge in lawlessness. And the reason is because I do not know you. There's no knowing. The word knowing here is what ginosko. It's taken from the word ginosko, which means intercourse, intimacy. Praise God. So the passion of the Lord and the willingness to please Him should drive us to the place of knowing God. Personal knowing, intimate knowing. That is what will prompt us and inspire in us the force of righteousness to do His will. Praise God. Doing the will of God is the requirement of the kingdom. Pleasing God is the requirement for the kingdom. Character formation is the prerequisite to entering the kingdom. Praise God. And that is the standard God has set before us. We've got to learn to press in and enter and come into the kingdom. That's the will of God. That is the expectation of heaven. Praise the Lord. Now another point is this. Before the seventh angel came trumpeting this outcry of heaven, there was first the sixth angel, isn't that so? In fact, there was one to six angels. So the point is that, imagine, we do not adhere to the empathy of the first six angels. And we want to jump to what the seventh angel is speaking. It doesn't work that way. Praise God. God is the God of foundation. You know that six is the number of man. It speaks of the instability, speaks of the fragility of man's nature, the tendencies of man, and actually the panacea to the frailties of man and limitations of man is order, divine order. We must learn to observe the principle of order before we can enter the kingdom. Let me quickly run through two. The first one, talking about principle of divine order. The first thing about divine order has got to do with the fact that we must be well-rounded and rooted in the basics of biblical foundation. Praise God. You must be well-rounded and rooted in the fundamentals of the biblical foundation. Many of us want to hear the deep things of God. We have not learned to master the brotherhood, loving the brother, giving to the sister in need, interceding for the brethren. We have not learned the dynamics of intercession and prayer. I have not learned to give attention to knowing who I am in Christ Jesus. I have not learned to deal with some of the worries and anxiety that were already troubling my stability. Those worries and anxiety at some stage, they threaten our stability and our focus. Praise God. Maybe as singles, we need to learn to be stable. We need to learn to know who we are in Christ. Praise God. We need to learn to put our family in order. Put our home in order. Marriage. Do we understand and are we maintaining the sanctity of marriage? But you want to get into deep things. Praise God. You just insulted the poor woman, your wife. Walk down. You've not been talking to her for 2 weeks. And yet nothing, there's nothing in you that says you are doing anything wrong. But yet you are delving into deep things. You know that's stupidity. How do you go into battle with unforgiveness with your wife? And you said you want to advance the kingdom. You want to face the conflict of the kingdom. No, you become a mixed meat for the devil. So that's the reason why the foundation must be well put in place. We must be well grounded in the foundation. We must be rooted in the foundation. We must constantly revisit our foundation. If we will be instrumental towards advancing the kingdom of God in the earth, praise God. Another thing with regards to order has to do with boundaries. You see, there are certain landmarks God has put in place. Please do not tamper with the ancient landmarks. One of those landmarks is accountability. Some of us are not accountable. We are not accountable. You travel when you want to travel. You start a project you intend to and end it without. You have told everybody this project, God is in it. But there are some folks that tell you that the Lord spoke to me. that somebody will be my wife. And then you start proposing. Within the way you stop proposing, you're already proposing to another person. So when did God change his mind? So the question is that when God spoke to you, who did you carry along? Did you speak with your pastor? You actually don't have the right to go and speak to any sister if you have not learned to submit your thoughts to spiritual authority. And sometimes it's the flesh. You feel that that's why I'm getting close to Brother Lakoff. And I don't trust Brother Lakoff too much. Praise God. You move far. You move. But if it is God, you just calm down. In the where in the multitude of counsel, safety. All these we have not finished sorting out one. You have gone to propose to another. I think a brother that proposed to three sisters at once. Three at once. I think I was a 23 register. I don't know whether I was trying to start polygamy. I don't know to assume who are born again. Stupidity is like the stupidity of Corinthian Christians. So maybe you tell me if you're here or there, you know that kind of thing. I see that for the three. One, there will be a yes for one. But the only thing that was so stupid, we had to propose to three sisters who were all roommates. The sisters were just, they were just like comparing notes so that they will pray for one another. I'll pray concerning you, you pray concerning my. So who is your brother? The brother is the same brother. Let me encourage us. You know, as in the time of youth is a time to make mistakes. So make all your mistakes now. Praise God. Some people who have not learned from their errors is when they are grown that they start making mistakes. They should have outgrown. Praise God. So it's okay to make mistakes. But one of the ways in which we learn from our, you know, weaknesses and struggles is to learn to be accountable to spiritual authority. So the things that are necessary, carry them along. The ones that appear like not so necessary, carry them along. Praise God. Accountability is very important before you take any actions. And it's not easy sometimes because insubordination is ingrained in the fallen nature. Praise God. Sometimes you have to deal with it, that independent spirit. You have to deal with it. Sometimes unnecessary secrecy. You know, you just don't want anybody to know about it. You need to expose it sometimes. So when I say exposing, not to every dick and ass, to the right people, people who have wisdom, and people God has set over you to provide oversight. Praise God. It's very important. That is very key to advancing the kingdom. Because if we do not adhere to the instructions that proceed from the trumpeting of the six angels, we can't claim we want to press into the finish. We want to press into the old counsel of God. We want to press into finality. No, we can't claim that. Praise God. We need first stability. Amen. We need first order. We need first foundation. Then, we can then press on towards perfection. Praise the Lord. We press on towards, you know, consummation of all things. So going back to what was reiterated when the seventh angel blew the trumpet, the Bible says there was a loud cry from heaven that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Praise God. I'm not going to go through the pain of defining what the kingdom in the pastor Ernest did that yesterday, that the kingdom is from the word Basilia, and it means king's domain. Amen. The domain of the king. Praise God. So the kingdom is thought about the king. The kingdom is thought about the king in focus. The kingdom is thought about knowing the king. It's about pleasing the king. It is through knowing the king and pleasing the king and adhering to his pleasure that we come into his domain. Praise God. That we understand what constitutes his preference. What constitutes his intention. What are his plans and his initiatives. Praise God. It is as we learn to please the king, as we learn to know the king, as we learn to behold his face, then the blueprint of his intent, the blueprint of his plan and agenda will be downloaded to us. Amen. So we're going straight to the point. It is the will of God that the kingdom of God infiltrate the kingdoms of this world. It is the will of God that God uses us to interface with Babylon. God's intent is to use you as this contact point out there in the world system. And that's what he's preparing you for. And that's why we've got to be effectively acute. We've got to be thorough. We've got to allow the Spirit of God to be at work in us until we are established in the kingdom. So that when we go out there, we go out there, you know, places God will plant us, and the kingdom of God is invading Babylon. You know, you don't just go to school to do well for yourself. That's not the purpose of going to school. You don't just go to school to earn a degree. That's not the purpose. Praise God. School itself is the means to an end. And the end of all things is the kingdom. The school is the preparation. And God wants to set you up. It really doesn't matter. Some of you are the, you know, core sector in the marketplace. Some of us, it is everywhere God plants us, even in the home. Amen. We are there invading the kingdoms of this world and Babylon with the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. But now is the time of our preparation. You know, I perceive about this church. This church is a strategic church. I sense in my spirit. I've always known it, but I sense this church is a breeding ground for kingdom invasion. God is raising people here, and it really doesn't matter whether you come here in a short term or in a longer term. Some of you probably 5 years. Some of you 2 months. I sense in my spirit, God will constantly send people in here to get acute. And he's sending them forth. Everyone who passes through this kingdom community is going forth as God's laser force. Praise God. We are going forth as an emissary of heaven in the earth. I perceive we are in that phase, and we should do it with joy. You know, not every ministry can effectively achieve that. We will have changed the model. Thank God for the faithfulness of, you know, his servants in here. Praise God. Because it's so easy. When people are coming and passing through, and coming and passing through, and coming and... I sense in my spirit, in the years to come, we will see our children as fortresses. They will be holding the four corners of the earth. I sense God is raising governors. He's raising people as a result of the impact and the influence that we receive through the working of the Spirit in this place. We will go there and engage the forces that trouble the nations and bring liberation to them. This is the place where saviors are being made. And saviors are being built. Praise the Lord. And I perceive in my spirit, another faith is coming. And the coming faith, here will not just be an equipping center for God's army that are being released into the nations. I sense God will raise pillars out of the sons and daughters, will stand pillars in the kingdom. And from this place, great exploits will be done. From this place, nations will respond. They will become voices of God to the nations of the earth. And they will trouble the kingdoms of darkness. A time is coming. God is raising counselors. He's raising captains of thousands. He's raising prophets from this house. God is raising people who will prophesy with finances, with the skills and knowledge of entrepreneurship. And it will not just be, they're not restricted to operating finances and commerce and economy by the knowledge of this world. The earthly knowledge will be the, you know, will be the foundation for it, as in like, it will be in the background. But there are people who understand kingdom finance. There are people who understand the principles of the kingdom. Not only understand it, they actually epitomize it. God is raising people that will be pillars, who epitomize the principles of the kingdom and the life for the above realm, praise God. And they will hold the faith. They will be generals in the spirit. They will be captains, they will have voices in the spirit. And that's what God is ultimately doing with you. Praise God. A time of great glory is coming. But you know, I sense the Lord speaking over the leadership of this house. Heaven is pleased with your faithfulness and your consistency. Heaven is pleased. The Lord is saying, do not be distracted by the flying arrow. Do not be distracted. Do not be caught up in the crossfire. Keep your focus on the Lord and on the will of God and accomplishing His pleasure. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So the foundation is key and crucial. The foundation is effective. And going from the foundation, we must understand that God has got an ultimate intent, an ultimate agenda. Praise God. Our walk with God is not just a religious experience. No. It's a process that is leading somewhere. Praise God. It's an engagement in the spirit that is leading somewhere. And what God is up to, God's ultimate intent, God's ultimate pleasure, heaven's our destination point, is that the kingdom, God is raising men and women who will embody the kingdom. And as a result of their engagement out there, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. That is where God is going. But you know, the truth is, the point is this. We cannot fulfill this dominion mandate. We can't fulfill it without authority and endorsement in the spirit. What is going to collapse Babylon is the weightiness of God upon us. Without authority and endorsement, we cannot fulfill this dominion mandate. And you know something about authority and endorsement? The seal of God does not rest upon man, does not rest upon the flesh. We need knowledge. We need earthly knowledge. You need to be effective. You need to be the best at everything you do. But that is not what the seal of God is standing upon. The seal of God will only rest upon Christ. And that's why we must prioritize the formation of Christ in us. It is Christ that is in us that is the hope of glory. I love that scripture in Colossians chapter 1. It was Paul put it this way, that for this cause, this is the reason why I heed the call as the minister of the gospel. You know, Colossians 1 from verse 25. The reason why I heed the call as minister of the gospel, and I believe every New Testament gospel preacher, whether you're a prophet, apostle, evangelist, every fivefold ministry gift. This is the basis. This is the ultimate intent of God's capture. He said, according to the dispensation. The word dispensation is the word oikonomio. That's where we get the English word economy. So he's saying that this is the economy of God. This is the economy of heaven. This is the basis. The word oikonomio means stewardship of God's resource. So the word of God given, the grace believed, this is the intent, praise God. It is to fulfill the word of God. What is the central point of God's word? He went on in verse 26 and said that the mystery, can we have 26? He said, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, and now it is made manifest to the saints. Even in the Old Testament, that mystery was there, but it was concealed. Praise God. But we are privileged because now we are earmarked to receive the revelation of these mysteries. It says it's now manifest. The word manifest is what? Tenero, which means visibility, to be unveiled. It is meant for us. We have got to receive these mysteries. Praise God. And what is that mystery? He says to his saints. And that's why in the New Testament, let nobody do Ojoro for you, how do you put it? Let nobody intimidate you with knowledge. Everything of God is meant to be understood by you. And the more we come into the knowledge of his will, the more we step into this mystery. Praise God. Mind you, the word mystery is taken from the word mysterion, which actually means a certain, knowledge cycle that is not open to all, it's concealed. Actually, in the ancient Greek, the word occultism came from that. It's the word mystery. Praise God. Now, in God, God is saying that there's a central point, and it's not exposed, it's not given to everyone, but it is his things. Only the saints have the privilege, praise God, to come into the mystery of God. Because, you see, that mystery will be revealed to the saints. But ultimately, it is because when the mystery is revealed to the saint becomes instrumental to the manifestation of the mystery to the nations. Because he went on to say that this is what God has in mind. It's not so that the saints will feel that I'm better than you. It's not so that we will feel that actually our movement is superior to all those Pentecostal churches and ministry out there. That's not the purpose. Praise God. The scripture tells us, verse 27, is to the intent. Okay, I'm quoting Ephesians 3 now. It's still the same mystery. Now, probably we'll get there some other time. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory. You see, the glory of God is concealed in this mystery. And the Bible says, among the Gentiles, I mean the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, in other words, this mystery, the long and short of this mystery is that it is Christ manifest in us as humans, as ordinary believers who are trying to come into the will of God. The essence of the mystery is that Christ be with you. So, I don't care what knowledge you have. If Christ is so revealed in you, you do not have the mystery. The mystery is only revealed, the mystery is only fulfilled when Christ is revealed in us. And that is what will make us instrumental to showcase the riches of his glory to among the Gentiles. The Gentiles in earth are Eden. Praise God. So the purpose of this mystery is not to turn us into sex, so that we will feel we know we are better than others. All that false feeling of superiority. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that God is sending us out there to be solution to the complexities of our time. That is the ultimate intent of these mysteries. Praise God. We will be the answer to the groanings of the nations. That is the ultimate intent of this. But we know, before we go out there, the job is being done as Christ is being formed in us. The more Christ is being formed, the more we are coming into the mystery. Or the mystery is being revealed. But we know the ultimate intent is that we become instrumental. Because to the intent that principalities, to the principalities and powers may know the manifold wisdom of God through the church. Praise the Lord. So we said that God's authority and endorsement only rest upon the church. Praise God. Thank you very much. So we have 10 more minutes. Praise God. Okay, we've got to touch something before I wrap it up. Amen. How many of us are getting something? So God is going to use us. God is going to use us. We have been equipped to bring to pass His determinate counsel before the creations of the earth. Determinate counsel of God that heaven has initiated before the foundations of the earth. It is we, the church, that are being used to make it happen. Praise God. Ultimately, we are being sanctioned by heaven to terminate the dispensation of time. Ultimately, we have been authorized to midwife the age to come. We will become recipients of the age to come. We will become custodians of the kingdom age. We are enforcing the kingdom over every facet of life. That is our mandate. That is our calling. And it does extend it to every child of God. Praise the Lord. So in closing, let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 16. Can we read this together? 1, 2, go. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man who presses into it. The law and the prophets were until John. Praise God. The way the Bible used the law and prophets, the scripture used the word where, which is past tense. So in this context, the law and the prophets is synonymous of the hold that is passing away. The hold with regard to Levitical priesthood, the hold order is passing away. Praise God. You know the implication of that? God always intends that we exceed where He has been. You know, there are realms that God used to be. There are things that God used to do. But now, all that is left of them are monuments. Praise God. God does not want us to be there and remain there. He wants us to exceed everything that God, you know, where God used to be, we should transcend it. Praise God. And one of the things we are never supposed to do that gets us talked is the issue of allegiance. We're not supposed to own our allegiance to any man. We're not supposed to own our allegiance to any institution. Praise God. Our allegiance belongs to only one person. We're supposed to be worshipper of the audience of one. Praise God. Christ, His pleasure, His will. Now, that's not to say that we will not submit and sir. One to another. There's submission. There's actually the place of, actually, where we're going is submission to one to another. The reason is because when we don't struggle with having our ways, praise God. Everywhere counsel comes from, you yield. A lot of times it's because there's still something in us that is resistant to counsel, to God. So that's the problem. Now when we come together, you see generally, submission is supposed to be a virtue that we imbibe as a result of the formation of Christ's attributes in us. So when submission becomes a virtue that we imbibe, we will submit one. It's really not going to, it doesn't matter whether someone that who gave his life to Christ yesterday. Once this is the course that God is charting, I align. So we're supposed to be in an environment in which even pastor sometimes is submitting to the youngest of the believer. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because there is liberty of the spirit for that young believer to speak the mind of Christ. There are no restrictions. That's the atmosphere he wants us to be. Build, praise God. Now, but that's not to say we're not supposed to have authority over us. You know, but because the authority over us is with regards to order. Government. My gift is not supposed to operate in isolation. I can't just say that I received a special calling. God took me to the mountaintop and I met the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in person. Praise God. I just go as the Spirit leads. So that's why a prophet came to visit a friend a couple of years ago at the government church. And, you know, he just introduced himself to me as a friend's friend. And just trying to... Then the next thing I said was prophesying on his sister. It took her to work. Actually, when the sister saw that a man of God came, she has rebellious spirit. She now saw someone who endures what authority has... So she took him aside. And he too, instead of him to say, okay, this is how, and began to prophesy. Finally, they carry each other to a program set up without the knowledge of her husband. And before you know it, I have to come and clean up the mess. Praise God. So that's your job as a pastor. Praise God. You clean up the mess. That's part of what we're called to do. And resuscitate the broken bones. Praise God. So the point is that there's order. There's government. Government got a confusion. There's decency in the house of God. Praise God. Now the point is this. What I'm saying is that there's nothing like my call is so furious. And there is no man that is a reference point is a lie. It is from the pit of hell. We will always have God raised reference point. No man is our standard. But people, God will always raise people as references. That you can tell, this is what I am doing and where I'm taking you to. There's nothing like God has something with me. And nobody standing in a position to bring affirmation and confirmation. There's nothing like that. It is with the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word is established. Praise the Lord. There will always be reference points. Paul said, follow me. Paul was bold. Follow. God has set me as a reference point. Follow me. There's nothing like, I will get there on my own. Praise God. You will fall victim. There's no, but we're not supposed to operate in isolation. You will not get there on your own. We're supposed to be interdependent. And we're supposed to be to align with governance. So Paul said, first, follow me. I can say that with authority. But you know, even so, Paul, there were boundaries. As I follow Christ. So what Paul was saying is that all of you must have your gaze set on Christ, including me, praise God, who is charging the cost. All of you, your gaze set on Christ. So peradventure, I deviate. You people call me, hey, Mr. Paul, get fall in line. Praise God. Fall in line, Mr. Paul. But if your eyes are not set on Christ, as he deviates, you go follow. You go follow inside the drip, inside the pit. So he said, follow me, because I'm not ultimate. I'm not absolute. I'm susceptible to error. So, but you have to follow me. There's nothing like, only Christ is my captain. I don't answer to any man. That's not the spirit of Christ. Praise God. So, law and prophets, don't owe your allegiance to any institution, to any man, but to the Lord. Our priority is knowing him. Praise God. Now, but as I have said, we're to honor the law and the prophet. What did I say? We are to honor. You see, some people, they think they know more than Adeboye. I know Adebo, and they rubbish them. Adebo, Oyedepo, praise God. And somebody said that information technology has given everybody a megaphone and platform. So you think you can say anything you want, and you will. Don't get caught up in that spirit. Praise God. Even when a father messes up, what we own to the Father is prayer. After all, the Bible says, before his master. Are you the master? Praise God. That he falls. Amen. So, what we own to the fathers is prayer. Is to trust God for their restoration. Amen. A lot of times, people miss the point. I remember when Robespierre and God gave him this calling to study about the generals in faith. And God said to me, their mistake and failure must serve to you as pitfalls that must be avoided. Not they should serve as punching bags and basis for criticism. When you see a man of God fall and you are previewed, number one, I don't actually want to be there when a man of God is falling. I never ever. But anytime you are privy to a man of God making a mistake, I'm talking about genuine, not those, those Facebook. I saw one yesterday. I had to put a comment there. That of all the shenanigans that we see in the church, the so-called men of God, I said this one is my favorite. The supposed pastor in suit lined up all the church members and he was giving them serious lashes. Why? He said, yes? Why? And the people were, ha! Thank you, like Jesus did. And he said, I said, this one is my favorite. I don't even know who the pastor was. Okay. So he was, I guess this one is in Nigeria. Yeah, Nigeria used to be the forefront. These South Africa and others, they don't pass Nigeria, pass. They are drinking insecticide and eating glass. So, but this one is my favorite. Because actually, the Bible says, those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit. So therefore, those who do not know their God, they shall be weak and be exploited. So I love it. So this is something like, say you don't read your scripture. What? you will place man above God. I thought that's. But of course, all of this nonsense. We know God is a consuming fire, but people shouldn't take the patience and the long suffering of God for weakness. Praise God. So, we are to honor the fathers no matter what. were to cover the Father and pray for the Father. The Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist, since the days of the prophet, the Lord and the prophet, the Lord and the prophet were until John, that the time, the kingdom of God is preached, every man presses into it. Now the point is this, when John represents transition in the spirit, John was bent back that the old is passing away and the new is unveiling. And the new that is unfolding is the kingdom. Praise God. The word John is taken from the word Ioannis. And the word that's from, you know, Greek. The word Ioannis actually means giver of grace. So John is synonymous of what the New Testament is. First of all, the New Testament is on the foundation of the epistles of Jesus and the gospel and the epistles. Praise God. You know, it's that basic. I mean, the book of the New Testament, what does it made up of? Gospel and epistles. And revelation, thank you. So we're supposed to be built on them. Now that's not to say that we just sit in every book of the Bible. But I realize that when I read 4 Kings, I'm actually reading the epistles. I'm seeing what Paul was seeing. Praise God. Then, again, John is a pointer to the cross. Redemption. John is a pointer to the intervention agency of God, which is what grace is. Praise God. It's a pointer to the fact that everything of God we will ever become will be by the working of His empowerment. It's the grace of God. And ultimately what the grace of God is doing is that the grace of God is plotting the demise of man in ourselves so that Christ will be fully revealed. The Bible says, until John, then the kingdom is what? Preach. Let somebody else say, preach. I've said two more things. One, second to the last point I'm talking before handing over the microphone is that the kingdom has got to be preached. What's supposed to come constantly, non-stop from our pulpit should be kingdom. Don't give attention to anything that is inconsistent with the standard of the kingdom. The kingdom is supposed to be the theme of every message that proceeds from the church. The attention is not meant to be on man, but on Christ, on the King. Praise God. Actually, the word preach is taken from the root word angelizo. Eugelizo. The word eugelizo means two things. One, it means to proclaim the truth. The truth. You know, the truth is not easy. Sometimes you speak the truth somewhere and you offend people. Praise God. There are places you speak the truth. There are certain messages I preach that I do not even know I offended anybody. I thought it was a great time because God breaks out. Then later I now realize that these doors are shut. Praise God. You know, but there are some I know. This is battle. I'll share two of the ones that I knew. One time I was invited by a friend. He owns an oil and gas outfit, one of the indigenous oil companies, and doing very well, really well. He has about 52 expatriates that is working in his company. He's got a staff of about 600 staff strength. So he's really doing very well. So he holds this monthly meeting, prayer and the word, and by a lot of prayer, and I love it. But before I know it, the day he invited me, a man of God came, and all these folks, because it's on the island in Lagos, all these elites, exposed, enlightened, sophisticated people. When this man, an apostle, apparently I now realize he comes every month, when he begins to lead prayer, forget it, They prayed for hours with intensity. And ask me, what was the guy leading them to pray about? Mainly enemies. I thought they would know that sometimes you expect wisdom, age to speak. Sometimes it's enlightenment. You think exposure will speak and speech foolishness. And he will be leading them. The one that most pained me was when he led prayer. That as you're going back home, when you get back home, you will meet the corpse of that man, that neighbor that says you will not make it in life at your entrance. I said, you see the amen. At the entrance, my house, God, God forbid. You know, there was no point in raising prayer I was comfortable to make. I had to change the prayer for myself and pray for the church. Imagine in that atmosphere of soothsaying and divination, they now handed over the mic to me. My own message and prayer changed. And that, as I was leading prayer, my message and prayer, and I knew that this would be the last time I'll be here. I said, we'll not pray. See, you who have been praying against human beings, your mother-in-law and your colleagues as enemies. Let me tell you, those are not your enemies. We will pray against the real enemies. The real enemy itself. That pride of life, that greed, has got to die. So open your mouth and shout, die! So we pray, the enemy that. So we talk about destiny. Your destiny was exchanged. Why won't it be exchanged? But your destiny in Christ cannot be exchanged. And it hinges on the knowledge of this. You pray, God give me the spirit of wisdom and revelate us. So by the time the prayer was, all the leadership, I could see their neck draw. Because I knew it is over. No doubt. I prayed the prosperity and success. Success has got nothing to do with all those nonsense people were praying about. So by the time it was over, I knew that. There was another battle I fought. I was invited to minister at Songwater. And a wonderful man of God I respect. In fact, at the forefront of apostolic and prophetic. As a matter of fact, he connected more to some foreign fathers in the 90s and was building structure in the church. They had a big church, one of the biggest Pentecostal churches in Songwater. And he had leadership and, you know, very complex. He got overwhelmed. And before you know it, he lost the sense of consecration. And he was having problem with his wife. I knew about it. I was just praying. So a friend of mine, Prophet Richard, were there together. Late Prophet Richard. So this was mid-90s, like 95. So we've been together for... And I was just trusting God that God would put things through. Before we knew it, I learned the leadership of, the prophetess or the prophet in the system. I prophesied the man of God will marry a very pretty sister, whose marriage also failed in church. So, imagine, I was on the pulpit to preach at the church convention. The last day, the last session on Sunday. I couldn't make the program. I've forgotten why. But I was able to come on Saturday. So I was to take the grand finale on Sunday morning. And they put up a drama. The long and short of the drama is that the wife who was seated right by me on the podium was dropped down and died and threw away. It was dramatized. And that our lot will be given to another. So I knew message has changed. And I knew that God will put me to shock again. The first thing, the Holy Spirit, I just opened my mind, just came out, I didn't know how it came out, is that nonsense that I just put up as drama is from the pit of hell. I stand to cancel it. It will not stand and it will not come to pass. And then the message become witchcraft in the church. I didn't even collect offering. Because I saw when envelope was given to us all, and I was kicked. I knew, I said, Lord, it's expected. And I knew that this is the land. Unfortunately, that church is no more. One of the thriving, and this great man of God, I still pray for him. I don't know much about him at the moment. Praise God. Truth must not be compromised. Truth is what confirms the errors of our hearts. The essence, truth is the instrument of circumcision of our heart. Truth is the vehicle that will bring about our reconciliation with God. Praise God. Now the word euangelizo also means to speak for the one who sent. So I'm not speaking out of my bias. I'm not speaking out of my prejudice. I'm not speaking out of my bitterness, out of my offense. I'm speaking for. So when I'm speaking, I come to the pulpit, it's not time to settle scores. I'm speaking for the one who sent. And we must understand this. In closing, the Bible used the word every man. You see, that's where we're going ultimately. Every man will press into the kingdom. The word press is taken from the word biazo. And it means to exert force. Exertion of force is prompted by the sense of urgency of the noun. Praise God. The word press is taken from the word biazo, which means to crowd oneself. To crowd, when I'm crowding myself, I'm like giving up my comfort zone. I'm pressing with tenacity. Praise God. It simply means that I have found higher purpose, insight into higher purpose that is bigger than me, that is bigger than my comfort and the necessity for my existence. Praise God. The word sense means the word press, the answer means contention. If it is the kingdom, as we begin to respond to the kingdom, forces will rise up against us. We should be ready for battle. Praise God. Every time we stand for the Lord, you know, all else is let loose. We should expect, you see, the kingdom is our preparation to withstand the challenges that are at stake. When it is the kingdom, there are challenges at stake. When it is the kingdom, there are opposition in sense against us. Praise God. Now, final. Going back to the word clouding oneself. I'm going to use an illustration. That's where we're ending it. I'm sure many of us are aware of, I don't know whether it still happens now, but in those days, it no should be. I have friends who have experienced it, and when they describe it to me, when they're going to work in those days in Lagos, in the days of Mulwe, I don't know if you still have Mulwe. No more. Praise God. That's why this generation will not understand. Amen. Not so long ago, if you're going to work, let's say your office is in Victoria Island, and you have to, you know, catch up on Mulwe from Ipaya to Via. Now the point is this. You have a crowd of 450. And when this movement comes, the next time the next one will come will be another 20 minutes. So you know that there's nothing like I'm posh. You put that aside. I'm, you know, very, very careful and too, you know, no. You know, you put that kind of ahead. No, then you won't go. You'll sleep there. That kind of decency or that kind of, you know, decorum, you put it all aside. So as this bus, you know, we have 450 here, and you know how many people the bus will take. So when the bus lands like this, you first of all, you balance well. And you use other people to push yourself. Then you give elbow here and elbow here. You press. You put, There's nothing like somebody elbows me. No, but you will internalize the pain. You will press and you will cloud yourself in there. Praise God. That is the description of the fight. When the Bible says, the adversary needs to cloud oneself to the kingdom. It's a survival of the fittest. You throw everything into it until the will of God is done. You see, this passive attitude, when it comes to the will of God, you see, it's easy for money to appear, to fight for natural survival. But the battle of the kingdom, we're supposed to engage in it with a higher level and degree of intensity and urgency. Praise God. Thank you.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGT Church, or visit our website www.pgtchurch.org. Thank you.